Illinois has a massive pension debt and a long-running, ever-widening structural budget deficit that's built up over decades, and leaders in both parties, frankly, bear responsibility for that. Governor Pritzker campaigned hard on his solution, which was a graduated income tax, but voters rejected it pretty roundly back in November. Do you believe that Illinois can cut its way out of our fiscal problems? Are there any revenues, say expanding the sales tax to include services, like many other states do, that you'd be willing to discuss after the economy stabilizes post-pandemic?
Let's go back a little bit to 2020, FY 2020. That's when, just before that, the pandemic hit. The governor began his year out stating that he wanted to spend $2 billion more above last year, the FY 90, which was the negotiated budget that I did with Governor Pritzker in his first term. That was overly aggressive. Everyone was doing fine. Expanding state spending to $2 billion didn't make any sense to me. He didn't really detail it in his budget address, but soon after that, pandemic hit, the world closed down. Come May, we find out from the different budgeting agencies that the state will have no more than $38 billion to spend. What would a prudent person do in that situation? I'm going to have to pull back my spending and figure out a way to get close to what our real revenue dollars are. The governor didn't do that. He stuck with his $42 billion spending program and was going to backfill the budget hole with money that's going to come from a future victory on his fair tax. That was the constitutional amendment. They had already passed a bill that was going to lay out the rates. So they felt that this was not really a question for the voters. It was already a done deal. Irresponsible. We warned them. You can't do this. We said this on the floor that we're banking on a future event to happen. No one does that. And secondly, the governor says that we're going to be able to backfill it with a federal bailout. Neither one of them happened at that point, which created a greater deficit. So I will just say this, is that there's a lesson to be learned, and that is very simple. You need to live within your means, and that we are not going to have deficits and have these continuing structural problems with the finances of the state until there's a recognition that we only have X amount of dollars to spend. I don't know what to say to the Democrats who went along with that, but that was a risky proposition that failed. And because of that deficit, it forced the state to go out into the market to do short-term borrowing, but also to borrow from the federal government. And that's why we're here. The governor has now said that funding for this year will be flat. Well, you know what? It means it was the same as last year, which was above and beyond what we anticipated for revenues. So I will just say that there were some bad decisions made. And it was, I think, rather bold, but I think it was greatly misplaced for the governor and also the Democrats in both chambers to suggest that we can balance a budget and we can backfill that budget based on future events that they believed were going to happen. I hope we've learned a lesson from that. But I'm going to go back to what we should do. We're required under the law to pass a revenue estimate on an annual basis. The Democrats never do that. The last time we did that was with Pat Quinn, in which we passed a revenue estimate out of both chambers, which is required by law. But Mike Madigan and the Democrat leaders and the governor just basically said, nah, forget about it. We're going to blow past that. And that's so irresponsible. But it goes beyond legislative negligence. It's malpractice. And people complain about the deficit spending, and Democrats talk about, oh my gosh, the problems we have to figure out how we can balance a budget. It's real simple. Don't support a budget in what is put forward where the spending doesn't match the revenues.
In 2013, the General Assembly passed a very contentious pension overhaul law that organized labor fought tooth and nail and eventually successfully got it overturned in the state Supreme Court. Leader Durkin, you've recently come out pretty strong in saying that you think it's time to revisit so-called consideration models that then-Senate President John Cullerton had put forward, in which labor would be involved in negotiating just how much they thought was reasonable to cut from pension benefits. Do you really think that labor is ready for this, especially at a time where they've been on a hot streak? They've gotten a lot of what they wanted in the post-Bruce Rauner years.
Our public pension systems are the single most distressing aspect of state government. And when we talk about structural problems, it comes down to our pension systems, and nobody wants to touch it. The proposition that I've introduced, which is what John Cullerton tried to pass a few years ago, had the full support of organized labor. That was the bill that the labor organization said, this is the alternative that you should pass. Now that the legislation was defeated by the Supreme Court, it's really odd that that same bill, which labor supported, now have changed their mind on it. So I guess the question is, are they ready for reform, or do they want us to continue to keep paying this ridiculous appropriation, which is going to deprive Illinoisans out of services that they, and the ones who are the most needy, who need from us. The pensions are killing our budget, and we shouldn't have to wait for a day in which we could possibly, right now it's not going to happen, get a change in our Constitution. But to go back and address this under the same principles that Senator Cullerton has advanced, and let the courts make a decision on that again. But sticking our head in the sand and ignoring this is a tragic flaw of this General Assembly. And I would hope that before this one runs out over the next year and a half, that we do something meaningful. Because we will never be able to have a fair, balanced budget, one that we can look forward to, that we know that over time that we will be able to address the spending priorities without pension reform. It's not just this fiscal year, but next fiscal year, I would imagine, we'll hit $10 billion. And that number will continue to increase. But it will do nothing to reduce the unfunded liability in that system, nothing that's going to rein in the costs that we pay into these systems. That's why labor should not look the other way on this, because these systems, at some point, it's not going to happen now in the next 5 years, they will run out of money. They will run out of assets. And they will not be able to pay the benefits to those members of their associations or unions.
If you can't get momentum on consideration model, would you be willing to stick your neck out on a public information campaign, pressuring folks in government to change the Constitution, to get rid of the...
I would change the Constitution, and I'd be the one who sponsors it. Absolutely. This is a matter of urgency, and I think all of us come in and we promise that we're not going to shirk our responsibilities. A lot of people campaign on a lot of really bold ideas, but when it comes to action time, they all kind of run away. So if people want to push this debt and this program onto their children and grandchildren, then do nothing and stand aside sidelines. But if they want to do something that's going to save this state, where it's going to, we will finally get a positive outlook from the credit agencies and from anybody who else is looking to invest in Illinois, particularly our business leaders, this is the thing to do. Do something, do the right thing on this. Look, we lose people, we lose businesses, because they know that the bill is going to come at some point, and they're not going to be the ones that should pick it up. They pay a lot to put good jobs in different parts of the state. They pay good wages, pay good benefits, but they know that when you talk about that we need to tax the rich, you know, we heard that whole thing a year and a half ago, but you know what? No one bought it, because there's no trust in state government. You develop trust by doing something right with the biggest and the most glaring problem that we have, and that's our public pensions.
We are now in the midst of a session where massive energy legislation is on the horizon, which whatever package gets negotiated would likely include stronger mandates on clean energy and possibly totally overhauling how Illinois gets its energy. Exelon is threatening to shutter two nuclear plants. ComEd is now requesting a rate hike. Ameren wants to get into the energy production business for the first time with solar. It's kind of a grab bag from, you know, all parts of the energy spectrum. And of course, retailers and manufacturers use an extraordinary amount of energy in their businesses. And their impact on the environment is among, you know, the biggest footprints. But the cost that they would bear from, you know, any massive energy overhaul would really be big. Some might threaten to pack up and leave for a place with cheaper but dirtier energy. And we do see a lot of businesses saying that they want to be part of a clean energy solution. But how do you think the state should balance the urgency of climate change with the cost that businesses might have to bear?
Look, I think that climate change is something that we can't ignore. But with that being said, making decisions hastily that will have a more than dramatic impact upon any energy user has to be thoroughly discussed. You just can't snap a finger and say that, you know what, we're just going to shut down traditional forms of energy production without having a plan and a phase-in type of measure to make sure that businesses, that they will be able to adjust their business models and to be able to phase that into their business plan. We have a habit of here of being very reactionary. We have, in this particular situation, we've got five competing plans, I think. It is going to be, I think, a very difficult task to try to find a common ground with all groups. In the past, when we've had large-scale energy bills, it takes a lot of negotiation where, for the most part, everyone who has an interest in it, eventually they will get something out of it. This one particularly is a little different because the energy community is still under scrutiny from the federal government with a couple of our energy companies, and people are not ignoring that. So we have a threat that two of our nuclear power plants will be decommissioned, and I hope that doesn't happen. I personally believe that we need to have a wide menu of energy sources that will be reliable. Nuclear power is it's clean energy. People don't like it, but the fact that it's clean. But it's there for a reason, and it does provide a backstop for us whenever the other types of power that we rely upon come to a halt, like we saw a few years ago with the vortex, which shut down the coal plants and a lot of the other and the wind plants. So nukes is the only thing that was keeping us warm. So we just got to be careful on how we approach this and not just summarily say, we're done with this, we're done with that, because of a scandal. We have to be able to look through it, but we have to have a balanced approach towards it. And I don't have an answer towards that, but I think that if we act reactionary, as we often do, we could be making a mistake.
We are more than a year into this pandemic recession, yeah. And unemployment insurance is a pernicious issue that's come up over and over again, but mostly told from the side of, you know, folks who have needed to go on it because yes. Their jobs have been affected by COVID. But from the employer's perspective, I mean, those benefits don't just come out of thin air. They're taxes that businesses pay on the state and federal level. Now, Illinois faces a $5 billion deficit in our unemployment trust fund. Yes. That's more than double what we had during the depths of the Great Recession. In order to fill that hole in the fund, Illinois could either raise UI taxes on employers or cut unemployment benefits to those out of work, or a combination of the two. Now, some states are planning to use some of their federal stimulus money from the American Rescue Plan to help shore up those funds. But Illinois is getting $7.5 billion, and a lot of that money is already spoken for. So even if we use some of it, we're going to have to address this somehow. So how do you think, what would be the best way to go forward?
I think we have to look at the whole situation. Not only do we need to look at the Illinois Department of Employment Security that went back in there, and while we do any type of assistance to the UI Trust Fund, we have to fix that agency. I still, to this day, am receiving frantic emails from people who have been lost in the system, people who are the victims of fraud, that can't get through to IDES. People will say that, well, we could never have forecasted that. I'm like, I'm sorry, you have to. That's why we have different agencies. We have the Emergency Management Services, who's supposed to be able to make predictions and make recommendations for the worst of any type of catastrophic event. But when a decision was made to shut down Illinois, the governor did it through executive action. It's not my job, but the fact is the governor should have realized the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who would be left unemployed, particularly from the retail and the hospitality industry. And they were not able to get their benefits, which is what employers pay for. So, first of all, nothing could get passed, and I will not support anything that is not negotiated. It has to be negotiated with the business community and also the interest of those who are maybe labor. That is not something that we can just say that we're going to tax employers. Look, they took a lot of beatings this year, and it was unfair. in the way in which the state of Illinois, when they through the signing of executive order after executive order, told our businesses that I'm sorry that many of you guys, you know, you're not essential. And I have small mom and pops in my area, and I have large employers as well. But the state of Illinois was responsible for them shutting their doors or having to reduce their headcount and putting people on the employment security and put them in the benefit column. So I will not support a tax increase. I am, if there is going to be money, we are still going through that process right now. We've got a revenue report right now shows that we are going to be well ahead of expectations financially in the state, up to probably $700 million of additional revenues that were unanticipated at the beginning of the year. That's great news. What we can't do is that we can't add to government, we can't expand. And I know that the Democrats have a tendency of seeing a pot of money. They want to go on a spending spree as opposed to looking at where we need to pay off our obligations. But in this particular case, we cannot leave the employers hanging out to dry as we've done over the past year. I am in favor to see whether or not, see if that money, that we're, this new round of CARES money, that a good portion of it is going to be placed in the UI Trust Fund, that anything after that has to be an agreed, negotiated bill. And I can't say whether that means, what that means. But I want to, I don't want to have the employers to be left with a situation that they have not had any meaningful discussion with the administration of how to supplement this fund, which has taken a magnificent hit, a huge hit, over this past year. And I'm glad we had money to be able to pay out for those who did file their claims. It gave them the ability to keep food on their table, keep the lights on, and at least give them some relief when it wasn't through any cause of their own that they became unemployed. So I don't have a great answer for you on that, but I know that if we are going to, if there is going to be a negotiation and there is going to be responsibilities on all sides, the State Department of Employment Security is going to have to make changes, significant changes, so the people that this money is intended to protect are going to get the money.